You are listening to Training Matters with Honey Shelton. Training Matters is brought to you by the Training Institute, dedicated to setting the standard for individuals responsible for training effectiveness in banks and credit unions across the country.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. So glad you could join us for another episode of Training Matters. This month, we are talking about call center management. We are pleased to have an expert on board to share her experience and expertise with you. Our guest is Adele Morales, and she is the director of the contact center at her firm that employs around 20 to 25 agents to manage inbound calls from customers. Glad to have you here, Adele. Tell our listeners about you and about your firm, Insperity.
Hi, honey. Thank you so much. Congratulations on your new talk show.
Thank you.
My name is Adele Morales. Thank you for that introduction. I am the director in the contact center for Insperity, and Insperity provides an array of human resources and business solutions for medium-sized to large businesses. And my contact center actually services the worksite employees. So our clients come to us for these HR services, and my team services their employees for the most part. We answer questions regarding benefits, retirement services, web support, our marketplace, and we answer anywhere from 800 to about 2,000 calls a day. Ironically, the team is just 24 people on the front line, so they're a pretty busy group, but they are an amazing bunch.
Well, that is awesome, and a lot of our audience, of course, are financial institutions, and they can really relate to a high call volume and people who are calling, needing information, wanting information. I'm curious, Adele, how do you onboard someone who's new, somebody who has not worked in a call center before? Do you hire that person, and B, if you do, how do you get them ready to do their job?
That's a great question. Recently, we've had a shift in our philosophy and our hiring practices. I'm looking more for that employee who is service-oriented, flexible, excited to work with customers. So that means that we do have an extensive training program. So the initial training program is about 6 weeks long. So that might mean that we train a little bit longer, but at the same time, you've got somebody with that service-oriented attitude that's really out there to help a customer. And that, I've found, is really important, because being in contact center or customer service, you don't generally have people calling you to tell you you're doing an amazing job. Usually they're calling in with an issue that they need resolved. And so someone with that mindset is very understanding of that and very patient with the caller, and usually is very concise and very a forward thinker, and really gives them the full experience as to what to expect going forward. They're not just providing the bare essentials. And so that's what I really look for in our staffing model.
Well, and I think you've really, certainly struck a nerve with anyone who works in a financial institution, and especially those that have a client contact, are very often reminded of how important it is to be service-oriented. But I like that sounds like that's a priority for you when you're interviewing and looking for a candidate. Is there any advice or suggestions that you would give someone whose job is to find that service-oriented person? Do you ask certain questions? Are you looking for anything in particular? Tell me a little bit how you, in an interview, feel like, I found someone who is service-oriented. Share with us about that.
You know, I ask them for previous experiences where they've dealt with a very upset customer. And a lot of times, the words that are necessarily coming from their mouth aren't the important part. I like to watch their body language. How are they, even though they're reminiscing and it's not happening right now in this moment, what is it they're feeling, and what is it they're coming across with, even though it may have been a difficult situation? So just reminiscing, are they placing blame subliminally to that customer? Are they blaming the company, or are they taking full ownership for what occurred in that transaction? And so that's what I'm looking for. As they start explaining and giving details, I use a lot of situational questions. So I'll ask them to tell me about a time that they had to deal with a very irate customer, and what took place and what transpired and what were the results. And just watching them through that, I like to listen and see, and that gives me a good indicator of how they would respond in that type of situation. So are they deflecting, or are they taking ownership?
That sounds like the ideal way to, as you called it, see them reminisce and call up those feelings and reflect on their behavior. Well, certainly in financial institutions, it's not uncommon for someone to call who has a major concern or is upset. How do you train one of your representatives? How do you train them on how to handle an upset caller?
I think first and foremost, I have to remind them, this is not against you personally. Don't take it personal. You're just a representative of Insperity. And when you put it in that perspective, they think, oh, okay, it's not me, Sally, that they're venting towards or calling. Surely I'm the one, I'm just the messenger, so to speak. So that's first and foremost, is reminding them not to take it personally. And then reminding them that, you know, this is impacting their life, and this is why they're so passionate about it. And how would you feel if you were the one in those shoes? You know, we deal with things like benefits and health insurance, and also 401k, which is dealing with someone's life. It's really life impacting. And so when we look at it from that perspective, it gives us a deeper level of compassion to say, hey, I get it. This is their life we're impacting. How can I make this better?
Well, I think that's great. You know, empathy can make all the difference in the world, especially, I think, in calming an upset caller. It sounds like that's really encouraged with all of your team. Tell me this. Do you have specialists? Do you expect everyone in your contact center to handle every type of call? How's the contact center organized, and what role does automation play with that?
Well, that's a great question. Our IVR is automated through software. It's called Interactive Intelligence. And the software basically, it's programmed to have the associates who are trained in a particular skill set available in that queue to answer the call. So we have a 401k queue, or retirement services, our benefits queue, our escalation queue, and that queue is designed with four. It's got four people who serve that queue, and they typically handle your tier two, tier three calls that typically take longer to handle. So they're not on taking call after call after call after call, so to speak. They're behind the scenes doing some of the extra legwork. We've got our web support queue and then our marketplace queue. So when the caller calls into our 800 number, they're asked to press 1 for benefits or 2 for 401k. That call is then routed to that queue and the next representative who's available. Now, it does signal the caller if there is a hold, so it would say there are 4 calls ahead of you, however that works. And then setting that expectation for our caller that you will be holding. And then it routes it to that particular specialist. Now, several of our specialists are cross-trained. For the most part, they will all, by the end of the year, be cross-trained in benefits. As far as 401k, 12 of the 20 are trained in 401k.
So you do train with specialists, and then you mentioned the web queue. So I'm assuming that internet email that's generated off of your website or a query, I'm assuming that that's sort of the admin side of your contact center. Would that be correct?
I wish it was. That would be ideal. But currently, our escalations team handles all of the email. And when mm-hmm. they're overloaded, the front line do also chip in. We've been able to help that area by creating more templates, so automated templates that where they just fill in the salutation and tweak it however it's needed. We've been able to create a few hundred of those, but not all. There's not a one size fits all, so to speak. So sometimes they mm-hmm. do still have to create customized emails
and manage that in your contact center. Well, that's good. That's probably a good training ground too, I would suspect, for a representative who's seeing what people are writing in about, needing help about. Would you agree with that, that that's another way that they get trained, is seeing what the emails look like that need to be responded to?
Oh, absolutely. I think that that's one of the best ways to receive the training. And the reason why I say that is because you don't have a caller on the phone. When you have somebody on the phone, you have this added pressure to get it done quickly. And when you have the email, we have a 24-hour turnaround time. Not that anyone would spend 24 hours on an email, but you're more relaxed navigating the different systems as opposed to being on a phone call with somebody live there in your ear.
Mm-hmm. Now, I know a little bit about Insperity. A couple of my children have loved working for Insperity, and Insperity's one of our neighborhood businesses. So that's one of the ways that Adele and I know each other. But I thought it would be such a good matchup, just hearing how you organize the call center, contact centers, what you call it. We're going to take a fast break, and then we'll be back to hear more from Adele about what you can do to keep your call center agents engaged and enthused about taking good care of your customers. We'll be right back. There's no question a lot goes into the planning and execution of a well-run contact center or call center. One of the things that I'm very enthusiastic about is something I call a call center agent call flow guide. So if any of you that are listening would be interested in a copy of that, don't hesitate to email me, honey@interaction-training.com, and I'd be glad to share that with you. All right, let's carry on. Tell us about what you have in place to ensure quality.
Oh, when I started this, I've been in this role now for over a year and a half. September will be 2 years. And when I started, I acquired a quality analyst, and she and I designed a quality scorecard at that time, and we implemented it and trained it, did a whole lot of change management and built enthusiasm around having the scorecard in place. Our initial intent with that, the design of that scorecard, was to focus on consistency. We were seeing several inconsistencies in the way information was delivered, and so we wanted to build that into the scorecard. So what we saw after when we initially launched it, we were about 89%, 90%. And as of last month, we raised that score to about 97.5%. And we'd had some months that were higher, closer to 98. And so we decided, okay, it looks like we've kind of outgrown the scorecard. What can we do different, or how can we take our service to the next level? And what I've been doing consistent performance improvement. We have an internal performance improvement department that helps us with that. In fact, that's where I was before I was in this director role. And I recruited them to help my quality analyst, and I said, you know, I want you ladies to do this. I don't want to be a part of it. And so I was really interested to see how this would transpire, what would happen. So they decided to include the performers in on this creating of the new scorecard. So they brought in the top three performers for last year, the top three quality scorers, and sat in a room for a few hours a week for about 3 or 4 weeks in a row, and came up with a whole new scorecard. And their focus on that, the one charge I did give them was, our customer pays a premium dollar for a premium service. let's give them premium customer service. And they took that charge and focused on the customer experience. And so we have just, on May 1st, launched the new scorecard. So it's really exciting, and there was a lot of enthusiasm just throughout the whole contact center because their peers designed this new scorecard. And what's really exciting to me is that it's way better than I could have done ever. So they are setting themselves for a higher level of service as well. So that's really exciting because it's designed by them.
Oh, that's an excellent approach. That does raise some questions for me, and I'll bet our audience will wonder about this as well. Give us some insight about this scorecard. What is it monitoring, if you will? Give us a picture of what is being scored and how you accomplish that, if you would.
Sure. Basically, we score, the scorecard includes, are they being accurate? Are they, where's their level of professionalism with that customer? We do ask them to brand our calls for, in the beginning and in the end. A lot of the material that our team touches is very sensitive, so are we making sure that we secure all of the information before giving information that could be HIPAA-related or that could any way be incriminating to the person that, you know, say Social Security numbers, things of that sort. So we make sure that that's on the scorecard. We also make sure that they're using the resources that they have available to them, that they're giving accurate information. Are they indeed being polite, courteous? The new part that I really like is, are they following the Insperity values? So we incorporated our organization's values and our mission statement. Are they being true to that mission statement? And are they really representing the company as Insperity? Because we definitely want to increase that level of service. And that's what I meant by premium service. Are we following that premium service? So things like respect and for the worth of the individual. Are we being servant leaders? Are we showing teamwork? Are we committed to high standards? Those things were built into, which are very subjective. We recognize that. At the same time, we have dialogue with the team to say, what does that look like? Tell us what you think that looks like. So that's been really a nice conversation to have. Another thing that we do is each representative is graded on 10 calls and 6 emails each month. Our quality analyst does half of that, and then the team managers do the other half. So we have a monthly calibration where we all come together to listen to calls and say, okay, let's grade them. And then we discuss our differences or our similarities on the scorecard to make sure that we're all being true to the scorecard and grading from the same sheet of music, so to speak. And we include the top performer from the previous month in that, so they can also see what we go through. Because initially when we launched the program, I believe they thought we weren't really thoughtful when we were doing the whole program. But now as they've started to be involved in the calibrations, they're seeing that, wow, there is a lot of thought and dialogue. And it's not always pretty. We have a lot of disagreements, and it's okay. We talk through those, and we come to an agreement, and then we all stand by that. So it's really been nice to have everybody on board with the whole quality program. I'm going to stop right there to see if you have any questions.
Oh, that's great. Well, the picture you painted, I think, would be so helpful to someone who has a small contact center or one your size, in that what I hear you saying is that you have put into play tactics and measurements that encourage the responsibility for being a great representative of the company to come through over the telephone. And though those things are subjective, where I think that where you're cleaning that up, if that's the right term, is that there's more than one person making a decision about the effectiveness of those things that have to do with tone or empathy, courtesy, and so forth. I love what you're doing there, Adele, and your numbers are really impressive. One more thing that comes to mind with what you shared with us, with your approach to monitoring and scoring, is the idea of bringing the top performer in when you do your calibration, I guess was what you called it. Does that rotate? I mean, sometimes I find in the workplace that when you have a top performer, you might have the same top performer over and over again. Tell me, does that happen, or do you see a lot of rotation with who's at the top of the heap?
That's a great question. I wondered if that would happen when we decided to implement that, and no, over the past 6 months, it's been somebody different every single time.
Great, great. Well, what a learning tool for a top performer. I assume they're hearing the call and then the discussion. Is that correct?
Yes, and then we also ask them for feedback, too. We'll ask for their perspective. If we come kind of to a dead end or we just really don't know, tell us your experience with that. What is fair in this scenario? Because we don't want to be unfair to say that we're the call police, but we also want to have, of course, some level of consistency, some level of commitment to the overall quality program. But what makes sense in this scenario? Is this truly a roadblock for everybody that we need to be a little bit more lenient or flexible in this area? Or tell us, you know, basically we get a bird's eye view from their perspective and they get to interject and say, no, this is my experience with this scenario.
Excellent. We'll be back to hear more.
Are you ready to take a deeper dive into proving your worth as a trainer? Register now for Train the Trainer Bootcamp and take the first step toward becoming a certified bank training professional. Check us out on the web, interaction-training.com, and you'll be on your way to learning how to create and present training that results in learning. Interaction-training.com.
Tell me this, do you stage calls that you use as training calls, or do you use calls that you've recorded into the training of a new representative?
That's a great question. So when it comes to training, we actually have them monitor live calls. So it's really literally sitting next to an agent or a specialist out on the floor and listening to live calls. Our interactive intelligence, the software that I was telling you about earlier, also has reporting features, and it records all of the calls that come into our contact center, as well as our scorecard. So there's different dynamics to that software. So we randomly pull calls from that software for the quality purposes on a monthly basis. And then the next part is our quality analyst takes on the whole responsibility of bringing the calls in for our calibration. So she chooses the calls and the emails that we calibrate on. And typically, we in an hour and a half, we have time to do two calls and two emails. We've tried to do three of each, but sometimes the dialogue is just so rich that we don't have time to do that.
Well, it certainly is evidenced by all the effort and thought you put into monitoring that you're not the contact center police. You really are there for continuous improvement, both from the customer's experience. What I'm hearing is the quality of the workplace for the agent or the specialist as well. Am I reading that right?
Yes, I am definitely an advocate that a happy employee will be more willing to provide top-notch service. So I think it's important, number one, to make sure they have the tools they need to do the work that we want them to do. Without that, they can't. Number two, willing employees are always great to have, but I like to celebrate them. You know, we like to have fun, even though we're attached to our work and our work kind of dictates our schedules and when we can go to break or lunch. I still think that there's ways to celebrate them and have fun. And one of the ways that I do, and I look forward to this every single year, is Customer Service Week. That across the nation is celebrated the first week in October. And I look forward to it every single year.
What kind of things do you do to celebrate during that week?
Last year we had a lot of fun. We had a superhero day where everybody dressed up as a superhero. We had a character day where everybody dressed up as a character. So I think that day I dressed up as Betty Boop. And we have had tailgate parties. We kind of build in an agenda of items for each day. We had a Play-Doh gallery where everybody kind of designed their Play-Doh fixture, whatever it was that they had. And so we put our Play-Doh gallery out. We had a photo booth. We had a desk decorating contest. And each day we would have drawings. So you could enter a drawing by participating in a particular event. Or we kind of hid tickets. This year was kind of fun because last year, we hid tickets randomly throughout the contact center and break rooms and restrooms. And so they would write their name on the back of that ticket and put it in the bowl for the drawing. And we'd give away things as simple as a jeans day pass or an hour off. We gave away movie gift cards. And then I also had different positive memorabilia, like different cups and things designed with positive customer service messages. And so each day we would have a drawing for at least 10 things, and that was a lot of fun. We also feed them that week, quite not every single day, but a couple of the days we'll feed them. And then I also get the managers involved. So each of the managers has their day where they design the games that are put out that day. And I really think it supports the idea of being a servant leader to your employee. And they see that each of the managers really do care and take an interest in the overall customer service week. So I'm starting to brainstorm what I want to do this year. And I'm not sure how I'll beat last year, but I'm really excited about it.
Oh, that's great, Adele. We have so enjoyed all that you've shared with us today and know that how much I appreciate you giving up some of your time today to share what your experience has been. And I know that our audience will draw from this as well. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for being with us. And before we sign off, I want to let you know about next month's program. Next month, our featured guest will be our very own Zach Merrill. Zach is a certified bank training professional. He is employed by Interaction Training as a senior training consultant and works closely with the training standards and certification process for the Training Institute. You'll want to tune in next month and hear what Zach has to say about how to keep training at the highest level of effectiveness, especially when it comes to people working at the branch. So we will look forward to talking to you then, and until then, have a great rest of your day. Thanks again for tuning in.
You've been listening to Training Matters with Honey Shelton.